This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعين ونستغفر ونؤمن به توكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن عدة الشهور عند الله 12 شهرا في كتاب الله يوم خلق السماوات والأرض منها أربعة حرم ذلك الدين القيم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah At-Tawbah, verse number 36, that the number of months in the sight of Allah are 12. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed this the day He created the heavens and earth. And out of these 12 months, 4 are sacred. This is the correct religion. Alhamdulillah, we are at the beginning of year 1444 after Hijrah. And we ask Allah to make this a productive and beneficial and blessed year for the entire Ummah. We ask Allah to make this a year in which this Ummah returns to its glory and where the oppression and the tyranny and the poverty found in many parts of the Muslim world is overcome. And we ask Allah to put barakah in this year. But for many of us, we don't really pay attention to the Hijri calendar as much as we should. Unfortunately, we live in a time where for many Muslims, unless it's Ramadan or Eid al-Adha, we may be completely oblivious to what the date is on the Hijri calendar. So today I want to perhaps revive in us the interest in this calendar by discussing its history and its significance and perhaps some ways in which we can revive the practice of using this calendar. And I want to start with the history of the calendar because this is some information that many Muslims are unaware of. The history of how the Muslim calendar came to be and why it came to be and the lessons we can draw from that. We begin with a misconception. There is a misconception amongst many Muslims that our calendar as a whole was divinely revealed. That it was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave us this calendar starting in Muharram on the first of Muharram on the year of the Hijrah. And part of this is true and part of this is not true. What is true is that in the verse that I just mentioned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that the calendar is 12 months. Right? And the hadith explains the names of these months. Muharram, Safar, we know the rest. Right? And that they are in that specific order. And that out of those 12 months, 4 of them are sacred. Those sacred months being Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram and Rajab. That these are the 4 sacred months in which jihad was not allowed in certain circumstances. Right? So they were sacred months because they have certain virtues to them. And so in certain circumstances, Muslims weren't even allowed to fight during those months unless it was completely necessary. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did reveal a lunar calendar based on a 12-month system. And He put it in this specific order. And what we see is that the Arabs before Islam, they were aware of these 12 months. And they followed these 12 months. But what they would do sometimes is they would flip it around. So for example, if a holy month is coming up, like if Rajab was coming up and they wanted to fight someone, they'll say, oh, next month's not Rajab, next month's Shawwal, we'll do Rajab later in the year. Right? They would actually do this. So this verse is revealed to prohibit that the calendar is set. You can't flip the months around. And this is what was done in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the calendar was set to 12 months in a specific order. But the years and the starting date was not set. Rather, what it was that people would just go through a cycle, you know, month after month, without any real awareness of when does the year begin and when does the year end. They would calculate it like, you know, it's been 12 months since this event, it's been 15 months since that event. That's why when we talk about the year in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, we say the year of the elephant, right? Because that's how they calculated years. So to understand this point, we have to understand that there were two ways of calculating calendars throughout history. There was the way of the major civilizations and the way of smaller communities. And Makkah at that time was a small community. Major civilizations would have calendars with specific year numbers going back to a major event in their history. Like we have the Gregorian calendar, which is an offshoot of the Julian calendar, which is an offshoot of the Roman calendar. And these calendars, they follow a 12-month solar system, And the Gregorian calendar goes back 2022 years to the time of Jesus, peace be upon him, right? So they have a specific year of a specific event that's important to them, and they've been following, you know, 12-month cycles from there. So in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was the Julian calendar that the Romans were following, and the Persians had their own calendar as well, and these calendars had specific years and numbers, right? And that's why when we go back to our history, we can say in which year of the Gregorian calendar Rasulullah was born and passed away, because those numbers were already set. But the Arabs were smaller communities. They were not a civilization. They were small towns and tribes. So they didn't have numbers to the years. They had events. They would say it's the year of the elephant. They say it's the year of the flood. It's the year of the drought. Whatever was like the main thing that happened that year, that would be their way of working things out. And this remained the system throughout the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Khilafat of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, all the way into the Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu. Now what happens in the Khilafat of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu? The Khilafat of Umar radiallahu anhu is the fastest expansion of this Ummah in history. The fastest expansion of this Ummah in history takes place in the life of Umar radiallahu anhu. The next fastest comes almost like 90 years later in the time of Walid I. But in the time of Umar, Muslims destroy the Persian Empire and take over all their lands. And the Muslims take over Syria and Palestine and Egypt. So now it's gone from a small community in Arabia to this massive empire spanning many countries. Right? And so what happens now is they have to start changing the way they rule. They have to now develop a government system that can work across many countries and cultures. And one of the things that becomes a problem very early on is calendars. How do we figure out the date? So during the reign of Umar ibn al-Khattab, two people came to their judge with a dispute. The dispute was that they had a contract. The contract said that one person was going to pay the other person in Shawwal. The dispute was, one person is saying, you're supposed to pay me this past Shawwal. The other person is saying, no, it's the upcoming Shawwal. And so when this dispute happened and they couldn't solve it, Umar radiallahu anhu said, you know, if we had numbers in our calendar, you know, if we had something like Shawwal 7 AH and Shawwal 8 AH, then we wouldn't have disputes like this. So let's settle. You know, the other civilizations, and look at this, look at how the Sahaba thought, because this is a way of thinking that's missing in the Ummah today. They said the other civilizations, they have calendars with specific numbers, going back to important events in their history. Let us do the same. Let us do the same. So he gathered together a committee. And this committee was made up primarily of three people: Umar ibn al-Khattab, Uthman ibn Affan, and Ali ibn Abi Talib. Three out of the four of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, because Abu Bakr had already passed away, right? Three out of the four of the Khulafa al-Rashidin, they got together. They got ideas from others as well, but they were the main mujtahids working on this. And I want us to take a step back and understand a few things about fiqh here, right? Understand that not everything when it comes to how the Muslim world runs as a civilization was revealed in the Quran and Sunnah. The Quran and Sunnah gave us our Sharia. It gave us our Aqidah. It gave us our how to practice our religion. But a lot of the civilizational aspects of Islam developed later on in history. You know, the administration of the government, the taxations, the divisions of the army, the culture, the flag, the currencies, the calendars, all of this came later in history. And Islam left a lot of flexibility and ijtihad in this area. So this is what the Sahaba get together and they do. That they decide, we need a calendar. Now, they already knew from the Quran that these are the 12 months. They are the lunar months, right? So this is the calendar we're going to stick to, a 12-month calendar that is lunar. But they had to decide on two things. What year do we start the calendar from? And we back project history from that year onwards. And what month do we start the calendar from? And these are two separate decisions made on two different important issues, right? One is which year do we start the calendar from, and the other is which month. Because neither of these things were revealed. So they had to do ijtihad. They had to figure it out. So when it comes to which year to start the calendar, they didn't just automatically jump to the Hijrah. They actually discussed a few different possibilities. The year Rasulullah was born, the year he passed away, the year of the conquest of Makkah. These are all major events. But eventually, they settled that our calendar begins on the year of the Hijrah. Why? Because that was the year that the civilization of Islam was born. Right? Islam was born 13 years before that. But for those 13 years, the Muslims were an oppressed minority in Makkah. The year of the Hijrah, they moved to Medina. They established Medina as an Islamic society, and it grows from there into a civilization. So the civilization of Islam begins with the Hijrah. That was the turning point in political history for Islam. So that was the most important event in political history for Islam. So he said, that's the year that our history begins with the Hijrah. And so the year of the Hijrah was declared 1 AH. And the year after that, 2 AH, and our history is written like that. Then they had to decide. They had to decide which month do we start the calendar with. And again, many opinions. We started with Ramadan. It's the most important month of the year. We started with Rabiul Awwal. You know, that's the month of the Hijrah. Right? This is actually, this is another misconception. Many of us, because our calendar starts in Muharram, we think the Prophet ﷺ made the Hijrah in Muharram. He actually made the Hijrah in Rabiul Awwal. Right? And that's why some of the later scholars, they were of the opinion, the calendar should have started from Rabiul Awwal. Right? Because the year of the Hijrah should have started when the Hijrah happened. So why did the Sahaba choose Muharram? And by the way, whatever decision the Sahaba made here, they became matters of ijma, of consensus, meaning the entire Ummah agreed upon it and followed it until today. Right? But why did they choose Muharram? Two reasons. Number one, to make sure the year ended with something special. And number two, to make sure the year begins with something special. Because what month comes before Muharram? Dhul-Hijjah. So what was happening, remember the day in Medina, was Muslims were going for Hajj. And in those days, it would take 2 to 3 weeks to get back to Medina from Hajj. So by the time people came back to Medina from Hajj, it was the first of Muharram. So the Hajjis were returning with their sins wiped out, with a clean slate, with their deeds. Clean slate, new year. You know, it's like we start our year with a clean slate. So the Hajj would mark the end of the Muslim calendar. This was the idea of the Sahaba, that the Hajj would mark the end of the Muslim calendar for the year, and we start anew with Muharram. The other reason why they went with Muharram for starting the year is because Muharram itself is blessed. Remember, we said Allah says in the Quran, there are four holy months. Right? And the books of Tafsir list them as Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram, and Rajab. Many of us make the mistake of thinking Ramadan. Ramadan is separate in its virtues. Right? Ramadan, the most blessed month of the year, is separate in its virtues from the four holy months mentioned in this verse. But in this verse, Muharram is one of those verses, one of those months that Allah is talking about. What makes Muharram virtuous? Before I get into that, just to conclude that part of the discussion, the Sahaba settled on Muharram. They settled on the year of the Hijrah, and that's how the calendar was formed. From that point onwards, from the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab until today, Muslims use this calendar of going back, now it's been 1,444 years, to the year of the Hijrah and starting with Muharram. But why Muharram? And I want to end this with just a brief reminder to us about the importance of Muharram and some of the good deeds we need to do next week. Muharram is one of the four holy months. And the 10th of Muharram is specifically significant and virtuous in our Sharia. It is known as the day of Ashura. It is the day that Allah saved Musa alayhi salam from the Pharaoh. And it is a day in which there are many, many virtues. There are two good deeds specifically that we should be doing on the 10th of Muharram. One of them is agreed upon, right? It comes from a hadith and everyone says the hadith is authentic and everyone agrees upon it. The other one is disputed. The other one comes from a hadith, but some people say the hadith is authentic. Others say the hadith is not authentic and they fight over that, right? I believe the hadith is authentic, so I'm going to mention it. So what are these two good deeds you should do on the 10th of Muharram? Number one is fast. That we should fast the 10th of Muharram. And if we can, fast 2 days, the 9th and the 10th or the 10th and 11th. Why? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam used to fast the 10th of Muharram. In fact, before Ramadan was revealed, fasting the 10th of Muharram was compulsory, right? In the year before Ramadan was revealed, the fasting of Ramadan, the original compulsory fast was once a year on the 10th of Muharram. And then that was replaced with 1 month of the year, which is Ramadan. But the 10th of Muharram remained a sunnah. It remained an emphasized sunnah. So emphasized that the Sahaba say we don't know of any month in which the Prophet ﷺ was more eager to fast outside of Ramadan than Muharram. And the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever fasts the 10th of Muharram, the entire previous year's minor sins are forgiven. So there's a lot of incentive to fast the 10th of Muharram. And we know in the final year of the Prophet's life, he said, if I live to see next year, I'll fast the 9th and the 10th or the 10th and 11th. So he never actually did it, but he had intention to do it. So that's where we get the idea of fasting 2 days. So if you fast only the 10th, the Prophet ﷺ did that, alhamdulillah. If you fast the 9th and the 10th or the 10th and 11th, the Prophet ﷺ encouraged that as well, and nothing wrong with it. Right? So these are recommended fast for the tenth of Muharram. The other good deed related to the tenth of Muharram is one of disputed authenticity, but nonetheless I believe it's authentic. And that is the hadith where the Prophet said, whoever increases in spending on their family on the tenth of Muharram, then Allah will increase their sustenance for the rest of the year. Whoever increases in spending on their family on the tenth of Muharram, Allah will increase their sustenance for the rest of the year. Now, over the generations, the ulama of hadith have been split on whether this hadith is authentic or not. One group of ulama said the hadith is weak, others said no, it's authentic. And what's interesting is those ulama who said it's authentic, they said that when they practiced this hadith, not a single year were they disappointed. That every single time they spent extra on their family on the 10th of Muharram, they found that to be a year in which their risk increased. So for them, that became the testimony that the hadith must be authentic. And I believe that the hadith is authentic as well. So again, to summarize, the 10th of Muharram is coming up. If you're following the South African calendar, it's on Tuesday. If you're following the Saudi calendar, it's on Monday. Right? I don't know everyone whose calendar you're following, but just giving both dates out. Right? Either way, whichever calendar you're following, make sure the 10th of Muharram, make intention to fast. This is the fast that the Prophet ﷺ considered most important and significant outside of Ramadan. And it is something that is very good for all of us, because look at it this way. One of the good deeds is to do with the past year, and one of them is to do with the next year. We start our new year with a good deed that erases all the sins of the past year. So we start afresh. And if we start our new year with another good deed that blesses the next year. So erase the sins of the past year and bless your provisions for the next year. This is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it for us, so we can start our year with something powerful. So to summarize today's khutbah, we said that the calendar, the Hijri calendar, was decided upon in the time of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu in a committee with him, Usman and Ali. That they got together and they decided that we need to have an official calendar because we are now a civilization. And they chose the year of the Hijrah because that was the turning point in political history for Islam. That's when the civilization of Islam was born. And they chose Muharram because it is a blessed month and it comes after the Hajj. So you can end the year with the Hajj and you start the year with Ashura. So it's a blessed month to end the year and begin a year with. And eventually this became a matter of ijma, a matter of consensus, became something the entire ummah followed until our times. And we also reminded ourselves that to do the good deeds that are associated with the 10th of Muharram, which is to fast on the 10th of Muharram and to increase your spending on your family on the 10th of Muharram. We ask Allah to accept from us. Rabbana atina fid dunya hasana wa fil akhirati hasana wa qina adhaban nar. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun alal mursalin walhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Innal hamdalillah nahmaduhu wa nasta'inu wa nastaghfiru wa nu'minu bihi tawakkalu alayhi wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina may yahdihillahu fala mudilla la ومن يدل فلا هادي الأمر بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحديث حديث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها كل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. Over the past 100 years, we've seen a decline in the usage of the Hijri calendar. Right? Ever since the fall of the Ottoman Empire in World War I, the Hijri calendar kind of fell out of usage amongst Muslims. Most Muslims around the world adopted the Gregorian calendar, and this became the norm, and this became the culture. Now, technically, this is not haram. There's nothing haram about it. Right? There's nothing wrong with using the Christian calendar to decide on work days or weekends or holidays or things like that. It's not haram. I know some people think it is, but there's no evidence for it being haram. Right? So it is permissible. But nonetheless, as Muslims, we should strive to revive the Hijri calendar in whatever capacity that we can. Because this is the calendar Allah chose for us. Right? Allah said these 12 months are the months Allah chose for us. And He has blessed four of them. And because we don't follow the Hijri calendar anymore, we don't even know the blessed months are upon us. Think about it. Two blessed months have just passed us by, Zulqa'dah and Zulhijjah. And the third one is upon us. But many Muslims are oblivious. They're oblivious to the fact that these are blessed months. And you know, for them it's just August. So we have to make some kind of effort to revive the usage of this calendar in our homes and in our lives. I want to share some tips in how we can do this on a very practical level. Number one, have the Islamic date displayed somewhere in your home every day. Just have the date available. Just like how when you look at your phone or you look at your calendar, you can see that today is like you know, the 5th of August or the 6th of August. Likewise, you should have somewhere in your home where you look at it and it shows you today is, you know, the 7th of Muharram or the 8th of Muharram or whatever it is. You should have this displayed somewhere so there's awareness. So every member of your family is aware of what is the month and the date and the year in the Islamic calendar. Many Muslims don't even know what is the year. They don't even know it's 1444 years since the Hijrah. Right? Many of them don't even know this. So have the daily usage of this calendar in that way. It's a very small thing, but it makes a huge difference to how we interact with our religion. Right? Because if you are aware of what the Islamic date is, you will be more aware of any important dates coming up. So for many people, you know, many of these fasts come and go because they don't even know that the Islamic, what the Islamic calendar has to say about this month. Right? For many people, holy months will come and go and they won't even know because they don't look at the Islamic calendar. The only time we look at it is when it's time for Eid or it's time for Ramadan. But if you have it somewhere in your home, then you are aware and you can at least keep track. So number one, increase your daily awareness and usage of the date. Try to be aware of at least what the date is today, Islamically, and try to make this something that you're aware of all the time, just like with the Gregorian calendar. Number two, mark the significant dates. Be aware of significant dates on the calendar. Things like the 10th of Muharram, things like, you know, the day of Arafah, things like, you know, the 15th of Shaban, you know, if you follow that opinion. Whatever it is, but significant dates on the calendar, mark them in the Islamic calendar. Even for your own personal dates, try using the Islamic calendar. Right, try having this, that you use the Islamic calendar and not just the Gregorian date. So when you're marking a date of an event, put the Islamic date as well, so people are aware. You get more people aware like this. So just say, for example, you send out a poster for an event and you have it marked there that it's on the 7th of March, but you also have it marked there that it's on the, you know, the 9th of Ramadan or whatever it is. It keeps people aware of the Islamic date and it creates a broader awareness. So we need to start using these dates in our daily usage in that way as well, and marking the significant dates. Number three, honor the sacred months. Treat these months as sacred. Months like Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram, treat them as special because Allah has declared them to be special. Number four, start planning your life around the Islamic calendar. Many people are so unaware of the Islamic calendar that, you know, they'll book a holiday and then later they'll say, oh, I booked a holiday in Ramadan. Right? Or they'll book, they decide to go on a sea cruise and they realize in the middle of the cruise, wait, tomorrow is Eid al-Adha? Well, I didn't know that. Right? And they didn't do anything because you're not working with the calendar. So start working your life around the Islamic calendar. Be aware how many months left until Ramadan. When exactly is Ramadan going to be? When exactly is Eid al-Adha going to be? When exactly is Muharram? And work your life around that calendar. Let that be the calendar that you work with. So when you're working out your zakah, you use the Islamic calendar. By the way, for zakah, you're supposed to be using the Islamic calendar, not the Western calendar. Because it's annual payments based on the Hijri calendar. So if you're not using it, you're doing your zakah wrong. Right? It's the same with working out puberty for children, by the way. If a Muslim boy reaches 15 on the Hijri calendar without showing any of the signs of puberty, he's considered an adult in Islam. 15 on the Hijri calendar. That's like 3 or 4 months before 15 on the Gregorian calendar. Which means for those 3 or 4 months, he might be considered an adult in Islam, but he doesn't realize it because he's not even aware of what the month is. He's not even aware of how the Hijri calendar works. So this is important that we start building our life around the Islamic dates. And one last thing, I'm just going to mention it, something we'll probably only think about doing in 5 or 10 or 20 years time when people are ready, but at least to put the idea in the younger generation's mind. We need to start working towards a global Hijri calendar as it existed in the time of the Khilafat. Right? In the time of the Ottoman Empire, they would work with one calendar. But now, you know, we all split up and everyone's sighting the moons on different days and everyone's fighting about it. And so one person is the 10th, another person is the 9th, another person is the 11th. But we really need to consider working with the calculations and working with astronomy, just like we do with our Salah times, so we can have a unified global Islamic calendar. I think it'll be much more acceptable for Muslims around the world to work with the Hijri calendar if we know when the dates are. Right? So just an idea, maybe one day in the future, inshallah, this ummah will revive this practice of having an actual Islamic calendar that the entire Muslim world follows. But of course, we first need to sort out our fiqh differences before that. So these are some of the things we can do, and we ask Allah to bless this year. We ask Allah to make it a year of barakah, a year of peace, a year of revival of Islam, a year in which all of our personal problems are resolved and all the problems of the ummah are resolved, a year of revival of Islam in a political way and in every other way, a year in which the injustices that Muslims around the world are experiencing come to an end, and the poverty that the Muslim world is experiencing comes to an end, and a year in which we return to the golden ages of Islam. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ